My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
We are on season 2, episode 10 of The Crown, called Mystery Man.
The last episode of season 2.
Yeah.
The last episode of our favorite cast.
I know.
That's why I'm like, that is the biggest spoiler.
That's why I'm in such a bad mood. I just don't want to move on to like different casts of The Crown.
Well, maybe we'll be surprised. And we're going to probably talk about it at the end of this episode anyway. So
yeah, we will.
But season 2, episode 10, Mystery Man. We have our usual disclaimers and caveats and things like that, which would include there's likely to be cursing because it happens. And obviously there will be spoilers because we are probably going to mention the cast changes.
We definitely
like
will.
And we are also having things to drink. What are you having?
Sweet tea.
Aw, that's a good choice.
I just chose it. So I was in the mood for sweet tea. And sorry for the ASMR.
It happens because she has to have ice. I was going to have ice on mine, but
you had ice last episode, so.
Yeah, so I decided not to this time. I'm having a ginger beer with mint and cucumber and a tiny bit of lime juice. The ginger beer is very sharp, so it needs a little bit of citrus in it to make it drinkable. Because I tried it without the lime juice, and I'm like, I was almost thinking, like, maybe I should just have spa water. Like, do mint and cucumber. And you know,
honestly.
Yeah, that would probably been good, but I need to get rid of the ginger beer because this, it's a little bit much on its own. So, but it's good. I mean, I think it is a good mixture, and I think it would probably be good with, like, I don't know, different kinds of whiskey maybe and stuff like that.
Wow.
Things to think about. As we go back to binging after January's over. So this episode, what is the synopsis?
A salacious government scandal hits close to home for Elizabeth and Philip. Elizabeth retreats to Scotland for rest during a difficult pregnancy. Yep. That's what happens.
That's what happens. And wait, no. I mean, that's actually better than most of their synopses.
Yeah.
And it is a little more in-depth, obviously, when you actually watch the episode. And this episode opens in April 1962.
Philip gets up and hurts his neck. Philip is working out and his neck hurts the entire time, and then when he's trying to figure out, like, maybe he just has a crick or something in his neck, then he just, like abruptly, like, juts his neck to the side and cracks it, and so he has to go to a doctor.
This is totally something your brother would do.
Absolutely. I can do it myself.
And he's got this groovy 60s electric guitar music going in the background. This is, like, so reminds me of your brother, Nick. So, like, I'm going to do calisthenics. I know how to fix myself. Just, you know, give myself a good crack. You're like, ah, dude. Yeah.
And he goes to the doctor.
An osteopath.
Ward. Yeah. The doctor says that the cause could be emotional strain or unresolved conflict.
Or tension. Yeah. And the guy came recommended. And
he worked on Winston and other people.
Right, but you get the sense from the way the episode portrays it that Philip did not know Dr. Ward.
He didn't. Based off of this.
Right. And so the scandal would paint it otherwise. So Stephen Ward is also a photographer, and while Philip's there, he's like, oh, you know, I just like getting people together.
He brings up Mike.
Right. He knows Mike.
He's a part of the
Thursday Club. The Thursday Club. Right. And so I have a group getting together this weekend, and Philip sees that there are pictures on his mantle, I guess, of someone named Christine and Mandy, I guess.
Whatever.
I don't know.
And then
1 year later,
a woman is being questioned by the police, and it turns out to be Christine, mm-hmm. who was the friend who went to the party. And she's being questioned about the party and a picture that was taken at the party in, like, the back of someone's head. Like, she's being asked who
she's
it was.
She's asked about a number of pictures, though.
Well,
she's shown a picture of a Russian spy.
Mm-hmm.
She's shown a picture of some guy in the British government.
Mm-hmm.
And her responses are,
no comment.
And then she's shown a picture of, you know, the back of his head at a party. And she's like, no comment about that, too. But, you know, obviously, the mystery surrounds it. Because you see the back of the head.
And you see the Prime Minister shooting in the country, and apparently there was a Russian spy at the party that they went to, and the Prime Minister talks to, I think it's not the doctor, it's
this guy Profumo,
who's in the government, who was being asked about at the police
right.
investigation.
So the suspicion is that Profumo said some things at this party where the Russian agent was there that he shouldn't have, yeah. and that somehow that has compromised national security.
Mm-hmm. And the prime minister basically is like, oh yeah, the rumors and scandal are overshadowing the actual work we're doing, and that's an issue.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that it's not... They aren't very clear on exactly what's going on.
They're not clear about anything in this episode, really.
But the back of the man looks like, as we said, looks like Philip.
Well, we didn't say that, but yeah, it does look like Philip.
Right, but it could also be Perfumo, because the way they portray it here.
The prime minister, like, says something to the press about, oh, yeah, no, we give Perfumo our complete confidence because he's a part of the government and he would never spill state secrets willingly or knowingly or whatever.
Right.
We're on his side. That's a mistake. But,
well, but he had this whole discussion. What leads to Qyburn giving this the press conference is that he had this whole discussion with his wife.
They sleep in separate beds, of course they do.
Right. He's talking about Perfumo, and she's all into the salacious part of it. She's very, like, gossipy, and, you know, I actively don't like this woman.
So I don't like her either.
Because, of course, you cheat on your husband for 3 years. That's not okay. There's so much wrong with this. But they make it sound like, well, there are fault lines in people's marriages, and you know, it's almost like I don't have room to talk to him about him doing something scandalous.
That's not true, though.
Yeah, well, not based on what we've seen. Him doing scandalous things. Yeah, I was about to say,
you're not being a hypocrite in that sense, because, yeah, just because you have issues in your marriage, which are stupid, but whatever.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's not made clear to me that, like, Perfumo slept with this Christine. I don't know.
No, I think the police asks Christine, and they're just like, did you have relations with this man? And she's like, no comment. And you can probably assume she did.
Yeah.
But that's just...
Yeah, she's very pretty.
Yeah, well, so, anyway, then we go over to Elizabeth.
And some family member is complaining.
Philip's
sister,
I guess?
Yeah.
Or aunt? Something like
Relative.
That.
Relative.
Yeah. Is complaining to Elizabeth about Margaret constantly having work done on her apartment in Kensington and being a source of all this noise and annoyance and all that stuff. And then she's like, yeah, okay, well, I'll fix
it.
That. And then Michael comes in and is like, yeah, by the way, you're pregnant. and she's like, great. Or no, the doctor says it, sorry. Different doctor, not Ward, but a different doctor.
So she's pregnant again and you're anemic this time.
Yeah. Her iron levels are low, so she needs to take it easy.
Yes.
Then she goes to tell Philip that he is at a last-minute house party on a Wednesday.
That he didn't tell her about.
Yeah, on a Wednesday, and the valet's like, oh, yeah, no, he's going to be in a house party for the weekend, and he's just like, she's like, it's Wednesday. That's the same thing that Jackie Kennedy did.
Yeah.
I'm just like, interesting that they're making it such a big point of, oh, yeah, it's Wednesday. It's the weekend for me.
I guess for rich people. Okay.
I don't know. Then you see that the doctor is... Ward is taken to talk to the police and confirms everything that happened at the party and who was in... That the Russian spy was at the party.
Right. And the Perfumo was... And, you know, it's clear that what prompted all this was Christine gave. And so Ward dimes out Perfumo.
And it's clear that he's going to resign for something.
So then we cut to Tony Armstrong Jones.
Yeah, our favorite man.
Yeah, and he keeps, or I guess he's Lord Snowden or whatever that we call
something
him now,
like
whatever.
That.
He keeps asking his editor for international assignments.
Yeah.
Like, the editor's kind of like, are you ever home? And I heard Margaret was pregnant again.
We never hear about Margaret's children.
No,
ever.
We don't. Tony's kind of like, oh, well, she's constantly remodeling the house, and I don't really want to be around. And what we have most in common is that we don't. Is absence.
Yeah, and I'm just like, great, what a healthy marriage.
Yeah,
and,
really, what
and
is
also,
wrong with you people?
And he's just like, he has the valid point of it's basically a construction zone at all times. So that's an actual reason why he would maybe not want to be home. But he's constantly going to, like, Tokyo and Paris and everywhere else but home.
And yeah, and you have children,
you have a child, and you're about to have another one. Don't you want to be there for your wife? who you got married to and have...
Yeah, or if nothing else, the ASMR now is Yang.
Trying to get up on the table and succeeding, but also we're trying to get him away from our drinks. Anyway, then Elizabeth visits Margaret and the building site of the quote-unquote egalitarian apartment.
Oh, and what makes it egalitarian is that there's a dining space in the kitchen.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, oh, we've got this new modern egalitarian thing. And Elizabeth, I love this.
She's like, there's nothing egalitarian about you, Margaret.
You are the least egalitarian person I know. And then Margaret mentions that she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And
do a couple Margaret, weeks after Elizabeth.
And so Elizabeth's like, oh, hey, you know, Philip's sister came to me and they've been saying that you're being really loud. And she's like, oh, they need to remember their place. I outrank them, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, and Elizabeth's like, that's what I mean. Not egalitarian.
Yeah. And she tells Margaret that the doctor has told her to take it easy this go around. And Margaret's just like, make Philip take some of the strain. And then she's just like, well, how is Philip, by the way? And she's like, I don't know. He's constantly gone again. And she's just like, well, here's a rumor that me and Tony heard. Philip,
how would they hear it together? Tony's never home.
Yeah, I don't know when this happened, but maybe she heard from Tony, who told her at some point in passing. And apparently they heard that a rumor that Philip is the man in the photo at the party. Then we go over to Elizabeth and the Prime Minister, who offers his resignation and accept responsibility for things going wrong. But... What?
Well, because the perfumo thing, I guess, is...
Well, yeah, you made a stupid statement, but come on.
Right, and he supported him, and he's feeling stupid because he did.
Yeah, you can feel stupid, just, like, get a grip.
And Elizabeth's like, look, you must go on. It's like, it's the keep calm, carry on mentality, right? You must go on, you need to take charge, you need to go back there and pick up the reins, don't just give up. And I need some help because I've got to take time off.
Yeah, she's taking a leave of absence of a couple months to go to Scotland and take care of herself. And she needs him to hold down the fort, and we'll have the Queen Mother like take over some ceremonial matters. But she really needs somebody to take over the main stuff for the political side of things. And if this is like, again, yeah, you fucked up. All of the prime ministers have fucked up. And
that
very,
comes up later.
And, like, you could either go the route of, I'm going to fix this kind of thing, or I'm going to just run away to Jamaica, like Anthony Eden. So, yeah. And
that terrible sounding thing was Yang.
Yeah, no, he was very happy. And then the Prime Minister's wife goes to a comedy play making fun of the country queen and government and also of the prime minister.
Yeah, the aunt Cameron's wife is so awful. She's just like, oh, it's so funny. And
no, but also he's just like, you went with your lover, didn't you? And she's like, well, yeah.
Did he laugh?
And she's like, yeah. And then it's like, did you laugh? And she's like, yeah. And he's the worst.
Specifically, did you think it was cruel? And she's like, oh, I don't think it was cruel. I mean, I just think, you know,
I think
like,
they were right.
Laughing about it. And you need to be in touch with the little people kind of thing. You know,
you should be in touch with that kind of stuff, but I really don't think it's her place to say that considering how awful she is.
Yeah. Right. Like, if you were presenting a unified front or something or anything, you're just, ugh,
I hate her.
Gross.
Anyway,
gross.
Then...
And unattractive.
Anyway, she suggests that he goes to the show. Then we go over to Elizabeth, who comes in and sees Philip packing to go somewhere, and she's like, oh, you're coming. Yeah, no, she's like, oh, you're going to Balmoral with me, or like, oh, you're coming with me. And then he's like, no, I'm actually leaving to go to St. Moritz.
Right.
And
but again, right before that, you hear Philip say something to his valet, like, oh, you pack
swim trunks.
Yeah, you pack the swim trunks, right?
Yeah, you're going to Switzerland.
Yeah,
or
but
wherever.
It's cold.
I mean, it's...
No.
And then she's just like, how apposite that you were going to be in separate countries.
And he's like, well, what do you mean?
And
she's like, well, apposite means.
And then he's like, I know what it means. I'm just saying, what do you mean? And also, I hate that at this point, we haven't seen Elizabeth outright tell Philip that she's pregnant. And so
no!
The fact that there wasn't a scene makes me think, okay, so he just got back and he's going to go to St. Moritz.
But he doesn't even know she's pregnant.
And he doesn't even know she's pregnant. I'm like, that would have been a very interesting thing to have.
Yeah.
Like, but again, they could have just, it probably happened off screen because he doesn't seem shocked by it later, but
no.
It would have been an interesting development if he just didn't know she was pregnant and that she was stressed about all this stuff.
Right, and she's clearly upset that he's leaving, and he's just absolutely. It's all, and he just kind of blows it off.
Which, it's literally the same thing that happened when she went to the room with Charles and Anne to be like, oh, we're going to show Daddy the crown or something like that, and he just wasn't there.
Yeah.
And it's literally the same thing, and I'm like, oh, God, Philip, please don't.
Yeah, so... We've got Qyburn going to see Beyond the Fringe, which is this show that his wife had seen, and it talks about
it's kind of in the background with everything, like Ward in court and Elizabeth on the train to Balmoral.
Right. So Ward is being basically,
and also he's sketching something at some point. Sorry, go ahead.
Thanks.
Sorry.
So Ward is they're talking about him being a traitor, that he had promoted prostitution and promiscuity and perversion. And you hear the voiceover, they're talking about the country is no longer civilized and our upper classes no longer set the right example. Mm-hmm. And I think that, again, you know, this is part of that constitutional tension that I think the show really wants to show, and emphasize. And mm-hmm. again, you got some, and maybe that's what Qyburn's feeling, like, you know, we're not representing good British values.
Yeah.
But the actors in the show see he's there.
Yeah, and they're like, oh my gosh, you're here. And then they start making fun of him more. And and he gets really humiliated. Or he feels
like he's naked on stage.
Yeah, kind of thing. And then we go...
Well, I got to say this too, in that context. I mean, it's not cruel, but it is.
Well, actually. Yeah, I mean, I think that... You can always be aware on stage if you see somebody and in that context, like, oh, you're making fun of this person. And they were still in the costumes for that part of the sketch of it being about the prime minister. But and then seeing him being like, oh, well, it's just, I forget what they say. It's just they talk about the
impression that he makes. It's like, oh, yeah, they're making impressions of me. It's interesting because everywhere I go, I make a bad impression.
Yeah, and it's just... and then you see him get uncomfortable because you see, like, earlier when he's watching the early parts of the show, he's actually, like, amused by some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do comedy in a way that's not, like, attacking somebody in a negative way. And doing it right to their face. I'm glad that they weren't, like, they didn't, like, chicken out or anything. But at the same time, I feel like it's rude at that point to just be like, oh my gosh, look, it's the guy we're making an ass out of. Let's do it more in front of him and make it worse.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly not a situation where I don't think I don't think anyone would interpret his being there as going there to shame them or shut them up.
If anything, so, I would be honored that he came and, like... You can use this as an opportunity to spread a message that's not just making fun of him and make him want to not...
To come out on your side.
Yeah, no, you want him on your side, don't you? Like, I mean, that's the whole point, but...
Maybe not. it's hard to say.
We see that Ward has overdosed on drugs before the court's decision the next day, and the police find a sketch of Philip in Ward's apartment. Right. Now... Really quickly, just to get it out of the way, we did look it up about this scandal, and apparently, according to, like, whatever news source that my dad found, apparently there were multiple sketches found that he, like, sold to cover court costs, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and it was, like, a part of a series that he did. He had a sketch of Philip, he had a sketch of Margaret, he had a sketch of Tony... So it wasn't just Philip, and it was more that he was... Yes, there were sketches, but it's not necessarily implied that it was, like, a one-on-one, like, I'm going to sketch you like one of my French girls thing.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't, like, some sort of porn thing.
Because,
like,
I mean...
It just makes it sound like it's weird. But there were multiple... We find out later, so...
Yeah.
So
just to get that out of the way, that given the context that we are aware of, it's not necessarily like this, but I can see why it looks weird regardless.
Right. The way it gets back to the palace, Michael gets a call,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, Elizabeth is napping, Michael wakes her.
It's awkward, it's really funny.
And she's confused about, like, the importance of this portrait. There's, like, other normal stuff, and then, as always, Michael looks sheepish, and she's like, is there something else? Oh, yeah, there is. There's this portrait thing.
And she's very pregnant at this point, yeah, so I don't know how much time has passed, but definitely a couple months.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but you know, it was clear, you know, Michael has found out that that Philip had been at Ward's house, had been at some party, I guess, and there were these portrait, there were probably like sketches leading up to it, and that he had been a member of the lunch club. And Elizabeth was like,
it all goes back to the lunch club.
Yeah.
And then Elizabeth,
it's hiking in the snow.
Well, no, before that, when she receives the information and is trying to process it, you see her hyperventilate a little bit. Yeah. And clearly, this is not good for the baby, so good job, Philip. But, I mean, obviously, like, given the context, we don't even know.
We don't even know if he knows. We don't know if he knows that she's going up there for stress. We don't know that...
We don't know why... I don't think he knows how long she's supposed to be there.
Well, I would hope that he would... It's only for the weekend, because when he comes back into the scene, you know, he's coming back from the weekend.
He comes back from the weekend.
I don't think it's been months.
Well, it has to have been at least a couple weeks, because she's showing. It's so bizarre. I have no idea how long Philip is in... Or supposedly in Switzerland.
Right.
And we don't know how long it's been since Elizabeth went up. Because she wasn't really showing at all when she was going up there. But then, like, Michael comes in with the news about the drug overdose and she's automatically about to pop. So
it's really hard to tell. I mean, I think they've made it deliberately unclear. So it's hard to say. But Qyburn has decided to resign again.
Well, yeah, she stands out in the snow dramatically. And then Elizabeth flies back to London and gets news from Michael that the Prime Minister has resigned due to health reasons, which is a benign tumor. But I think Michael puts it in a very interesting way. He really has just lost his appetite to go on.
Right. Yeah, he's just done. He's done with being Prime Minister. And so she goes to the hospital to talk to him, and he gets wheeled in on a bed.
It's so dramatic.
And you know, they'd already gotten the news that he had had a tumor removed. The tumor was benign. So Elizabeth already knows this.
You need time to recover from that, but at the same time, it's not as severe as if it wasn't benign.
I love this whole exchange so much.
Oh, it's fantastic.
So Qyburn gets wheeled in. And he's like, well, I've got to resign because of health. You know, it's the same bullshit that Anthony tried.
And he's like, Alec Hume can be my replacement. He's a good friend.
The Earl, whatever. And she's like, yeah, okay, fine. But, I've already heard that the tumor was benign. He's like, well, it's the size of an orange and I've got to recover. And you know, wah. And this is what she says. She said, I've been queen barely 10 years. I've had 3 prime ministers and not one has lasted the course. They're too old, too ill, or too weak. It's a confederacy of elected quitters.
I love the way she puts it.
I do too. It's like, damn, I like that.
But honestly, this is so stupid. He's just like, well, but I don't want to do it anymore. And just because, like, I'm out of favor. It's like...
Yeah, when the going gets tough, you run away.
He's the worst.
Elected quitter.
Anyway, then Philip drives back to the palace and is bombarded by press and protesters at the gate who are like trying to touch him. I'm like, get away. But he walks into the room and Margaret is there and so is Tony on the ground.
Yeah, I've got to say this because Margaret is significantly more pregnant by then, so you're right, some significant time.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a while.
And she in all of these looks amazing.
Yeah, she looks great.
She just looks amazing.
And then Margaret is pregnant in back of the palace. Tony's lying on the ground smoking, which is great for the baby. And Margaret asks Philip why he wasn't there for Elizabeth, because Elizabeth has already gone back to Balmoral at this point.
Right.
And
Philip's, this is how the exchange goes. Again, this is how well written the series is. Philip's like, so what are you doing here? And she's like, I think the more interesting question is, what were you doing not here?
What were you not doing here?
And she also
is just like, oh yeah, apparently Elizabeth put Alec Hume in his, Macmillan's place, she got a lot of,
negative feedback.
Yeah.
Backlash.
Back, bleh. Yeah, I know, backlash. And, and then she apparently has just gone back to Scotland. And Philip seems very surprised by all this. And I'm just like, dude, you did not know anything was happening.
Really?
And he's like, oh, yeah, it was kind of, it was really stupid of her to, well, Margaret says it was really stupid of her to just do this based off the advice of someone who wasn't in any place to give it. Yeah. But also, you weren't here to help her because she's under a lot of stress right now and she's pregnant.
Right.
So she just had to deal with the resignation of a prime minister and having to put one in his place. And that didn't work out for her. So she needs to go and rest now.
Right. And so one of the things I like about the end of that scene is that you get to see the back of Philip's neck. And head.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Yeah,
that.
he's got his back to the camera, right after they leave because he's hanging his head a little bit.
No, it's even worse because Tony walks up to him like after Margaret
leaves.
Yeah. He's just like, you know, I would cover for you because we all know you weren't in Switzerland, so
yeah.
You can use me as a cover next time, Boy's Honor and all that,
yeah.
And I can help you out. And I'm just like, dude, that's awful.
No, but here's part of. Philip's reaction to that I find really interesting. Because Philip doesn't like Tony.
Uh-uh.
He's disgusted by Tony. And the idea that Tony's going to cover for you, that you need Tony to cover for
and
you.
And that Tony knows exactly
shaming.
What was going on.
Yeah,
like,
it's shameful to Philip.
Or thinks he knows what went on.
Right.
We don't know. And
right.
We never find out. But
no, but you know, the concept that Philip is being presumed by people like Tony to be cheating, or that he would need help from someone like Tony, just makes him ill. You can tell that he's really upset by that.
So he goes to Balmoral, and she's in the smaller version of the house on, like,
it's
a little cottage.
Yeah, I think it's like
quote,
a hunting
quote,
lodge.
Cottage. What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
I don't know what's happening.
There's nothing in that suit.
There isn't. There really isn't. I'm going back and forth between that and water, and I don't know what's going on.
I don't either.
Anyway, then she basically wants to be alone because she's cutting her roses, and she just really wants to be left alone, so he's like, well, I'm going to stay in the main house if you want to talk to me. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what you need to do right then.
She's like, the idea was to be alone. I mean, she's very short with him. She's very
angry
with
her.
I don't either.
She's
especially
very pregnant, and
yeah.
She's very annoyed, and there's so much bullshit going around her, and he wasn't there.
No.
She didn't even get to talk to him about any of this.
Right,
because he wasn't there.
Right, and this is the time before cell phones, which honestly, I thought about that when they're showing this too. You know, he goes back to the main house. She's in the cottage. You know, they're doing things separately. They sleep, you know, in
separately
all the whole
separate
thing.
Houses.
Well, and you know, interesting at Balmoral when we've seen them, they usually sleep in the same bed at Balmoral.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, maybe that is an element of like just the more comfortable family like atmosphere.
I also find it interesting that before Philip was even there, she chose to be in the smaller house.
The cottage, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't like he showed up and she's like, I'm going to stay in the smaller cottage and you're going to stay here. I'm not going to be with you.
She does not want to be found. And you don't get the sense that there's even like a phone. There's like,
yeah, no, there's no
like,
way.
There's no way. But you think about it, you know, how much, think about how hard it is for her to be the queen in this era before the cell phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, it's so hard. People
I mean, they
demands.
Have telephones,
you,
but it's not like
you
can
imagine
constantly
what it's like in the present age, in the digital age. Like, no one will leave you alone. Your phone just blows up all the fucking time.
Mm.
It's got to be incredibly hard to shut down and be on your own and go radio silent.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's clearly what she's choosing to do.
But basically,
like,
yeah, she's cutting herself. She's becoming a monk. She's a pregnant monk. She's just like, I want to be left alone. I need time to think. A lot like when she was in Ghana, she just needs time alone and time to think and no one bother me.
Right.
And they're in the same place but very distant. And he goes to the next day, he goes to the smaller house to talk to her. He starts basically listing the problems that he thinks are driving her crazy. It's like, oh yeah, the prime minister, yeah, that sucks. Oh yeah, your mother, Margaret, everybody around
this
you
whole
sucks.
Ghastly relentlessness.
Yeah, and he never brings himself up. And he's
right.
And she's just like, and he's like, you have to be aware that there are people there for you no matter what. And she's like, if only. And I'm
like,
dude,
well,
are you,
what do you mean by that?
How not self-aware are you? You have not been here for her
and
at all.
And I respect this though about Philip. It's like, if you have a charge to make, make it.
Yeah, I know. And she brings up Ward in the sketch and he's just like, wait, who? What?
Because
and he's just like, he was my doctor for my neck. I visited him a couple times for that. And she's just like, did he ever invite you to a party? And he's like, Yes, and she's just like, well, there you go. That's already enough scandal at that point. And
well, and how could he have been unaware of the whole Stephen Ward thing? There's been a trial.
And he also, he knew the guy at some point. And
well,
also,
I mean, admittedly, if, and again, it's, we have to go by what is portrayed on the show. If he didn't ever go to one of these house parties.
Well, he does say he never went on a weekend with him.
Right. But assuming that that's true.
But he was invited to.
Like, a doctor that you went to once or twice.
And you not knowing that he committed suicide? Like, really?
I don't know. I mean.
Well, I meant with, like, all the publicity about it.
It's like, yeah, you probably know who that person was.
And also not being really aware of, like, everything that's going on with the Prime Minister stuff and how much stress that causes.
He's remarkably clueless.
And she basically says that he's become a mystery man to her. Regardless of if he's the mystery man in the photo, he's been a mystery to her. And he talks about, well, this is a whole thing about appearance versus reality. There are two people, and all that stuff. Before that, he's just like, well, this is just appearance versus reality. And she's just like, oh, really? And it's like, he's kind of getting her to give an example of, like, why she feels like she can't trust him. And then she opens up her desk drawer, and that there's the picture of the ballerina in her desk drawer in the little house at Balmoral. So she clearly took it out of the briefcase and forever ago and went to Balmoral and just, like, put it there and was just like, all right, well, this will be helpful one day. And
but it's interesting. She goes to sit in the window
And watches him
as he goes to look. And the performance.
Oh, the acting's fantastic.
Claire Foy, you know, she's, like, trying to hold it in. You know,
Matt Smith, though.
Yeah, Matt Smith's amazing. This whole sequence, again, is just, like, really, really well done.
You can almost see a little bit of regret on his face. Because regardless of if it's true or not that there is an affair, this still looks bad.
Right. So this is when, you know, this is how part of this fight goes. She confronts him about Stephen Ward. Tells him, look, we had to track down, there was a picture that they found at his house, but there were additional pictures. We had to go find all of them.
At great expense,
because we didn't want them getting out. Mm-hmm. And she never knows what he's doing. And look, I can handle the truth, but there are some things that can only allow for one meaning.
And then she shows him the picture. I wrote this part down. He says that there are two types of people in the world. The ones that seem to be reliable but are actually weak, like the Prime Minister.
And treacherous.
Or treacherous and complicated, but are actually more dependable than you could ever know. What?
You combined things that shouldn't be combined.
No, I just said treacherous and then I went into the next one. That's why.
Right. But you know,
then fine, you say it.
So the way he says it is that there are people who try to be seen as trustworthy but are in fact treacherous. But there are people who are more complicated who turn out to be more reliable. The way you said it, it sounded like the treacherous people.
I said it wrong.
I'm very sorry.
It's fine. I don't want to have an argument with you. We're talking about an argument in a show.
Okay. So, but
what he says is,
I know what my job is. Your father made that clear. I am your liege man of life and limb.
No, he says, you are the essence of my duty. I'm not out. He's right. Finally in, not out.
Yeah.
And this part really is so sad to me. I'll take over this part because I did write stuff down correctly this time.
Okay.
She says that she can understand that if he needs to let off some steam, he can, and she can always look the other way. And he's just like, I know you can. You've made it into an art form, which I found very funny. Yeah, he says, you can look this way. I don't want you to look the other way. He says, I'm yours in. That I don't know why I said it like that.
It's yours. Because he does. It's a sentence. I'm yours, period. In.
I know, it is. I wrote it down that way. I just said it weirdly. Not because you gave me a title or because we have an agreement. Because I want to be. Because I love you. And then they just hold each other.
And then in the background, there's the song, Amen.
Thank God.
Yeah.
And then we see her giving birth, and he's.
It's the first time he's there.
Yeah, and it's very different from Andrew's birth.
Yes,
very because
different.
She's not put under at all. It's a natural birth, and Philip is watching in the corner, just like
This is worse than I thought.
And
wait.
Then, as soon as it's he's born, she looks at him, like, with a smile on her face, and she's so relieved, and he, like, has this little smile on his face, and, like, in awe of what just happened.
Right.
Because it is a miracle. Like, childbirth is a miracle.
It's insane. Right, and this is your fourth, and you finally got around to being there.
Finally. You were at squash last time.
Right, and all of this has the choir voice singing amen in the background, but mm-hmm. then we go to the baptism of Edward.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a narration.
It's Cecil.
Cecil. And he's using language like this other Eden, this demi-paradise.
I can't. And it's a family photo. And
it's total fucking chaos.
Yeah, no, they're like the little kids, Margaret and Elizabeth's kids are running around and doing whatever, and the whole family's there. And then
in all of it, Elizabeth's sitting there just holding the baby. She's just a rock. She's like, I got that. Totally calm. Totally not letting anything affect her. She's like,
whatever.
Here we are.
I'm here. Let's just get this over with. And then Philip finally is like, for Christ's sake. And then he...
Silence.
And then everybody's quiet. And then he's like, take the photo. And then Cecil just continues his poem.
Oh, this is England. and Elizabeth then pats her hand on Philip's knee.
On his thigh or something.
Yeah, on Philip's knee. And he smiles. And
they're
going to
be okay.
And the portrait is perfect.
Yes. And it's just, this is going to be okay.
The chaos and whatever. And Phil's just like, take the picture. Just and now England's perfect.
No, but also when he says, as soon as Cecil starts doing the poem again, you see him Philip kind of exhale like, oh my God, it's going to be another 30 minutes until we finally take the picture. But she just puts her hand on his knee and is like, it's going to be okay. We're going to be okay.
We got this.
Yeah. And that's the end of the episode.
That is the end of the episode. So what was your best part of this episode?
I had a couple. Okay. The acting's fantastic. Yeah. I really love that.
Yeah.
The resolution to finally, and resolving the problems, and finally being like, I don't want you to look the other way. If I fuck up, you need to get on my ass. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that you know that I love you. And he finally says, I love you. And he answers that question from the end of the first season that was like, can you honestly look me in the eye and say that you love me as much as I love you, kind of thing. He finally is able to get that into his head and be like, I'm doing this because I love you, and because it's not because of an agreement, it's not because of all that. I wanted things to be very clear. I love you, and I'm doing this for you and with you. It's going to be okay. And they finally do that, and I'm very happy about that. Yes. And then Margaret. I really love Margaret, especially when she's like just being like, why weren't you there, Philip? What the fuck is wrong with you? You weren't there for your pregnant wife. And she's dealing with her own abandonment thing with Tony, so she can really get his ass for this now.
Right. I mean, there's more than one level in which Margaret's angry. So, yeah.
And she's just like, listen, you really fucked up. You weren't there for her. And now look what's happened.
Yeah.
Everything's crumbling and she's more stressed than ever. You need to get your shit together. Yeah. I do love Margaret.
Yeah.
And what's your best parts?
My best parts, and again, I know this makes you furious. I didn't write it down, but my best parts are basically the acting and the writing.
I forgot to say Cecil.
And Cecil, of course.
I need to write that down.
The acting and the writing in this episode, I think, are exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it does kind of tie up a lot of those loose ends for the previous seasons. And I really feel like it is a well-constructed episode. And it does, like, hook you in, like you want to see. All right, they're holding it together right for this two-second interval while the picture's taken. You know, can they keep doing it?
Mm-hmm.
I also really love that interchange with Philip and Elizabeth where he's like, I don't want you to look away.
Yeah.
I want you to look at me. Because I think that there's a lot of layers of truth in that too. Like, you know, you hear a lot of the reasons why people cheat if he had ever been cheating, which I'm not sure that he was. It's not clear from the way the show is portrayed. It's because they aren't getting attention, right? That mm-hmm. they aren't
getting something.
Right. They aren't engaged in the relationship. And, you know, some of it's by choice, but some of it may just be, like, she's keeping calm and carrying on. And, you know, like, I've got, all right, fine. I can't deal with your mess. You're messy. You're complicated, like he says. But I, you know, I'm in. And she needed to hear it. He needed to be humble enough to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's really well written. I think it's well portrayed.
Yep.
What was your worst part?
I have two. Tony, in general, what the fuck?
You just hate Tony.
I really hate Tony. But also, him being like, oh, yeah, well, I'm just going to leave the country. My wife is pregnant, but I can just leave the country. And then also, and him also being like, oh, I can cover for you if you want to go and cheat on Elizabeth and go to a different country and just cheat on her. I'll be your cover. You got it. I got you. And I'm like, I hate you. Yeah. And then Philip being dumb. I think that it's really stupid that he didn't even think about the fact that, oh yeah, maybe it's going to affect my wife and my unborn child that I'm not going to be there while things are really stressing everybody out, especially Elizabeth. And yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah.
All right, what about you?
One of my worst parts is Qyburn.
I forgot about him. Yeah, no, him too.
Another
best part is Elizabeth reprimanding him.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love that speech. I mean, again, I put that down to the writing. I find it interesting the way they argue Philip, or Philip argues his way out of the Samaritz thing, is that what he says is...
he was a thing for the dolphins.
Yeah, for the World Wildlife Foundation, which is found it's in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
But no one believes it. No. I mean, just no one believes it. And, you know, for whatever reason, if he were on Life 360, you can bet that, like, somebody like Michael would be watching where he is. I mean, it's
that'd be so funny.
Elizabeth wouldn't have time for that shit. But, you know, but yeah, definitely, definitely. But my worst part, obviously, is going to be Qyburn. I agree with you about Tony. I didn't really write that as or think of that as a worst part. I just feel like it's just who he is, and he's kind of a tool.
Kind of?
Yeah, he's just bleh.
He's the worst. I hate him.
Yeah. So I don't know. That was probably all of my worst parts for this episode. How'd you grade this episode?
I gave it an A. Yeah. I really like this episode. I love how it resolves things, and they actually are able to talk things out, and the ballerina finally comes back as a plot point, because in the back of my head, this entire season has been, you've never let that shoe drop. And I'm just kind of like, girl, that is ammo. You can easily just, like, end a conversation with that.
Yeah.
And you could just, and it's also something that she's been bottling up.
Yeah.
And I think, obviously, that's not healthy. But also, it finally has come to a head with all that stuff. All the stuff that was brought up at the beginning of the season with issues in their marriage and the agreement and such. I think that it's important that they finally talked about it. And the reason it's not an A+ is because there was a lot of stupid stuff with, like, Qyburn and his wife and all that stuff. So, yeah, I think an A is appropriate. What about you?
I think this is an A episode as well. And I agree with you that, you know,
it's a good ending to the season.
It is. I essentially, when you were talking, I was thinking that you, and this spoiler, that tension about his, you know, dalliances, if they existed, Phillips, doesn't come back.
No.
And while I don't miss it at all in future seasons, I miss there being, like, some sort of something in their relationship that is, like, sexual attention, and it's just not there.
You know, I feel like there was this scene that I thought was in this season, but it must be in the third season or something, where you see Elizabeth and Porchy having dinner, and it being interrupted by something, but I guess that's season 3,
because... I think that's right, yeah.
I guess
They're off, like, in Kentucky or something.
It must be, because
So maybe we're going to enjoy this more than we thought.
I don't know.
I doubt it.
I don't know
about that. I really doubt it, but, you know, it's okay.
And if that's all you have to say about your overall grade, we can talk about...
the season.
Yeah. So, do you prefer this season over the first season?
No.
Why? Sorry about the ASMR. Yang is purring.
Yeah, Yang is purring is the thing.
He's back.
I... I put them about equal, honestly. Mm-hmm. I don't like one over the other. I obviously, as you know, I love Philip and I love Matt Smith and all the Matt Smith all the time. But I love Claire Foy. I feel like these two seasons can kind of be seen together. Yeah. And I think that they are a good character arc. I think they tell the story well. There are some weak points for sure. I mean, you know, the whole episode about Churchill's portrait, the whole, you know, from the first scene, I was like, yawn. And you know, there's some episodes in this season where I'm like, oh, please stop. Mm-hmm. So they aren't perfect seasons.
No.
But I think they're both really good.
Yeah.
How about you?
I agree. I think they're about on an even playing field. If I had to give the edge to one, I think it might be the second season, only because you get to see more than one perspective.
Yeah.
And they're not always painting one person. They usually give context to motivations more in this season. Like, especially for Philip, he's finally a little bit... He was a main player in the last season, but it was more like, I'm the flyboy, I'm the modernist, all that stuff. But you finally get to see a little bit more of that, like the reason why he is the way he is in this season, which I appreciate, and they will harp on so often in the next couple seasons.
The same several things.
Nazis, let's count them on our fingers, everybody. Flying Nazi sisters. Boats. Oh, sorry, the Navy.
Dad's a philanderer.
Mom's crazy. And also space.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't forget space.
There are things that we can talk about with Philip. Let's have a Philip episode. And yeah, and it's like the Margaret things are all very basic.
I will say another thing about the first season that I think gives the second season an edge is because there's barely any Margaret and Peter. Because, and it's not like I root for her and Tony all that much. I don't.
No.
But at least you get to see her getting over it and like being like, well, kind of. Not really. Not maturely. Either way. I think that at least the Margaret episodes are kind of more contained, and you do get to see more stuff like from everybody's point of view, but you get to finally see the reasons why Margaret does what she does. Because with Peter, it was kind of grasping at straws on why she was even with him. I mean, it's
a connection issues.
To her father, all that stuff, but it's just
daddy
like
issues.
For Tony, there's you can at least see a reason.
Anti-daddy issues.
Yeah. Well, daddy issues is getting married. So yeah. I don't know. I think at least there wasn't like a Queen Mother in Scotland part of this season. That was probably the most boring part of season one for me. And also, I really did not like Anthony Eden. I don't like McMillan, but I think at least...
Yeah, there's a lot more Anthony Eden in this season.
There's more Anthony Eden, but at least he stops. But then also, but McMillan, I like that they gave him more of like a back seat. And so he's not like that big of a deal. I mean, yeah. He does have little things about his like marriage and all that stuff. But at least he's not like as like involved as Eden, I guess. I don't know. I also just hate his wife, but I mean,
still. I really hate his wife.
And
really hate
I don't
her.
Know. I found the Winston plot lines in the first season a little bit dry. I some of them anyway. Like the whole thing with his secretary or whatever.
Yeah.
Venetia. I did not care. Yeah. And that was kind of harped on in the first couple.
Yeah.
Episodes.
Yeah. I don't know. I
think they were trying to find their footing in season one, and they finally got the flow in season two, but then they lost the flow in season three.
Yeah, that's something.
Well,
I don't really remember season three all that much.
We
need to do a rewatch because seasons three and four, because they are the same cast, kind of mesh in my
head.
Well,
I remember
much
season
like
four
season
more.
One and two mesh in my head.
I just remember season four more.
It's more recent.
It's more recent than I actually like was interested.
Well.
Kind of.
So, yeah, we will definitely be going forward with seasons three and four of The Crown.
Well, do you want to briefly mention... Do you want to wait until this third season?
What, about the casting
choices?
Yeah. We can talk about that. Yeah.
Maybe we should wait until the
I think we should wait, because I need to look at them again. I feel like...
You're harder on them than I am.
I am.
I have my preferences, but...
I think some of it, and I think, you know, a lot of people harped on appearance, and it's not really an appearance thing for me. It's an acting style thing for me. And so I feel like we lose a lot of the chemistry that Claire Foy and Matt Smith brought to this, and it is something I miss for the remaining three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that are worth watching and they're worth looking at, and I think it'll be interesting to really discuss it. So we're going to save those.
Yeah, we'll save it.
The next couple seasons of The Crown, and we hope that you tune in and that you join us. And
cheers.